Coming up on the Joyful Learning Pod.
I know sometimes the spine of first novels looks intimidating if we're going for a verse on each page, but the word count is significantly lower than like a regular mainstream middle grade book. So kids can sort of fly through those books and feel a sense of accomplishment that, look at this big book I read, you know?
And adults as well.
Yeah,
you know, too. it just feels so good when I can sit down and read a book in one sitting. Welcome to part 3 of our Novels in Verse series on the Joyful Learning Podcast. I am very excited to have had a conversation with Reem Farooqui, who is an award-winning author and enjoys writing lyrical stories that reflect her own experiences. Reem talks about how she was a second grade teacher and that her favorite time was read aloud. Now, her favorite time at home is reading with her daughters. Reem is an award-winning author of many books, and we are going to be focusing on her 3 novels in verse. She will talk more about Unsettled, Golden Girl, and her forthcoming Call Me Adnan. I can't wait for you to hear all of the insight that Reem brings. In an article that School Library Journal published back in 2022, Reem says that verse felt fitting because when you reluctantly move continents, you feel a little broken at first, sort of like how my character Nura felt when she first moved. The broken nature of the lines in the novel of verse reflects Nora's experience. And if you are fortunate enough to read her new book, Anon, you will also notice her creative use of language on the page. And she brings some of the words and the feelings to life in the way that she arranges the physical text on the page, much as in The Crossover by Kwame Alexander. So please sit back and enjoy this really insightful conversation from Reem Farooqui. I am just so excited to talk to you, Reem, today. We've been able to connect a few times in the past few years, and I've loved everything that you've written. I've read all of your books, and we're focusing on novels in verse for April Poetry Month, and you were definitely somebody who immediately came to mind. So why don't you just start by telling our listeners just a little bit about who you are and your books, especially in case somebody out there doesn't know who you are yet. They definitely need to know. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, Melissa. I would say that I started out as a picture book author, and then I slowly migrated my way to the middle grade world. And I noticed when I was trying middle grade, picture books come more natural to me. So writing in verse just felt a lot easier for me than, say, prose, because it just seemed like there were so many words and it was so intimidating. But when I found verse, I just find that it's easier to work with. You can have more fun with the emotion, the white space, that emotional punch. I feel like I really get to know the characters in another level because I am the characters. Like, I feel like with the verse, you almost like become them because it's usually my point of view is usually the first point of view. So it can be heavy, but it's definitely a fun medium to work with.
That's awesome. Well, and the first book you wrote was Unsettled, that was in verse. Is that correct?
And yes, then my second book.
And then the next one was Golden Girl. And
yes.
I think they both have Pakistani protagonists.
Yes.
And
yes.
You had said you kind of are the main character, like your voice is kind of like their voice. And is that true of those two? Did you draw on your experiences to help create those two books?
Yeah, sure. And if you read them, you'll notice my first character in Unsettled, Nura, is more quieter and shy. And the second one, Afia, is more kind of in your face and bold. And I think everyone has different sides of them. So I just sort of channel the quiet side into Nura for Unsettled and the more bold side for Afia, you know? So that was fun. And I do have another book coming out in June and June 13th called Call Me Adnan, and that is actually a boy character. But
I saw that. I actually recently downloaded it from NetGalley, so that is in my queue of books that I hope to read very soon.
Okay, it is a heavier one than the others, but it is still hopeful. So just FYI.
Yeah, well, can you tell us a little bit about that? Give us a little teaser.
Sure. So it's about this boy called Adnan, and he has a little brother called Rizwan and a big sister called Alia, and he loves to play table tennis. And he makes it to the ultimate championship tournament, and everything's going great. And then a sudden tragedy happens, and his family has to put their lives back together.
Where was the inspiration for this one? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I have three brothers, so I've always been around them. And one of my brothers loves to play table tennis, and he's left-handed and he's colorblind, just like my main character, Adnan. So a lot of times I see things around me and I'm like, oh, that would be an interesting character trait, and I'll put it in there. So definitely inspired by him. He loves to win. And I interviewed like people like my uncle and my brothers, the ones who really want to win, and losing is like the worst thing ever. Like it's so bad. So I really put a lot of that in there too.
You just can't, like, yeah, there are highly competitive people in my family as well. I sometimes I'm one of those people, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, so just the competitive nature of the characters was inspired by my brothers and my uncle. Like, they can play for hours table tennis. I know you're not supposed to read the reviews, but I was sort of lurking on Goodreads. And it was funny because two people were like, table tennis? You may ask, like, how is that interesting? But they're like, but Rin Faruqi makes it interesting. And I was like, yes. So,
That's a
and it's not
win,
like,
right?
right? And it's not like, so, I mean, they're. Initially, I had more technical details, and then I had to go back and sort of dramatize them more and make them more mainstream fun. But I think if you read it, you'll sort of get into the character, you know? And he doesn't speak a lot, like he's more on the quieter side. So the verse was more fun to do. It was shorter, it was like snappier. It was just more like rhythm and fun.
That's awesome. Is there anything challenging about writing in verse for you?
Oh yes, putting all the pieces together. So in like a regular picture book or a chapter book, everything's so in order. You know, there's a clear beginning, a clear middle, a clear end. But with verse, it's so easy sometimes to just get lost in the middle because we don't really have like a specific. I do have parts of my book which help, but if we don't have like chapter one, this happened, chapter two. So it can be easy when you're in the middle of writing to get lost. So for that, I really recommend having an outline. So when you get lost, you look at your little map and you're like, oh yes, I'm supposed to go back there, you know?
Well, and Rajani is somebody that I have spoken with in this series of authors for verse novels, and I've heard her talk about this before with her Red, White, and Whole, and with her newest book, Mirror to Mirror. That's just, I think the book birthday is next week, so it's very
I'm
exciting. It's
so
going to be.
excited. I haven't read it yet.
I really enjoyed it, and she talks about the Mirror to Mirror was really the genesis of that whole book was a poem that she wrote at a writing retreat. And she just took this, she was inspired and she took that and then she built her story around that one poem. So I think it's,
Amazing.
yeah, I just think it's really interesting. And I think that in schools, often poetry is usually not very integrated, except maybe for April because it's Poetry Month. So then people try to, you know, incorporate it, but I don't see it throughout the regular parts of the year in my teaching experience very often. But I think, like, for reasons you're mentioning, it's such a powerful form of writing that can engage everybody, especially people who don't think that they're writers. And just like for the reading, it really hooks kids who don't really consider themselves readers or don't really enjoy the process of reading.
Yes, and it's good for reluctant readers too, because the word count. I know sometimes the spine of first novels looks intimidating if we're going for a verse on each page, but the word count is significantly lower than like a regular mainstream middle grade book. So kids can sort of fly through those books and feel a sense of accomplishment that, look at this big book I read, you know?
And well, and adults as well.
Yes,
You
me
know,
too.
it just feels so good when I can sit down and read a book in one sitting. And for both of yours that I have read previously, I read them in one sitting, basically.
Wow.
And it's not just because of the length, but they're just compelling. Like you want to, you have time to both process what's going on, but then you also want to know what's happening. And it just is very fast to go through this story. And inevitably I'm always sad when it's over. Like, I'm like, wait, that's way too fast.
You know, it's interesting. This one, I think it was like a lot shorter, Call Me a Nun. And I was like, this will be great. It will be like a really short, easy read. And then my editor came back and was like, okay, this is great. Can we add a little more to these parts? And I'm really glad she said that, because then I went in and I really developed this brother and sister relationship a lot more. And I added a lot more words. So, but it is comparable to the other two verse novels. Yeah, I hope you like Call Me a Nun. Yeah, you can let me know your thoughts. It is heavier, but I think it will still be hopeful for you.
That's good. And I think that's one of the kind of the characteristics of middle grade. I've talked to a lot of different authors and librarians and readers about their thoughts of middle grade. And everybody is, well, do you know the author Jo Hackle? She wrote Smack Dab in the Middle of Maybe.
No, but that sounds really good.
It is. I highly recommend it. She was actually on our show earlier in the fall, and we talked about that novel. And she describes middle grade as like the tightest writing that's out there. And she describes it in that way because she said every word counts. And the novels are so succinct and short for the most part. They're not long. They're like, you know, 200 to 250 usually in pages for a prose. And then first novels are often the same, but with, like you said, so much more white space and just, you know, less words to intimidate the reader. And I, in my library, have a complete section for the format of novels and verse. I've pulled out the verse novels from the other sections and put them together because I have readers who will come in and specifically ask for a novel in verse.
Yay. Yeah. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it definitely has grown over the years. What is the sense in the author community as far as the popularity? And do you think that the format's going to expand? What are some of your thoughts?
I hope so. I hope verse stays because I just think it's such a dynamic medium. Like each verse novel that you read is different. You know, different verse authors have so much fun with verse in different ways. Like some people's verse is more descriptive and some people's verse is so short, but they all sort of flow beautifully. It was funny. I was talking to another author and we both had novels and mine was in verse and hers wasn't. And she was like, wait, like you're done? Like your books are really due. And I was like, yeah. And then we were comparing word count and mine was like 20,000 something and hers was 75,000. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's probably why like it's different, you know, to write them. So I do get sometimes like, oh, they seem shorter, but I don't know if they're necessarily easier. To me, they seem more natural, but I haven't tried, say, a 50 to 75,000 novel in prose. Sounds really intimidating to me right now.
So you don't have any plans in the near future to tackle that form of writing?
Not yet. Maybe one day. I think right now verse just seems like it's easier for me.
Yeah.
But for some people verse is harder. You know, it's so interesting how it works.
It is. Yeah. Well, what did you, when you were younger, did you always know you were going to be a writer?
No, I used to have a diary when I was 9. I got it as a birthday present and the pages, I still have it and the pages smell like bubble gum. So I think that inspired me to write. And each year I would get a new journal or whenever I'd run out. So I always loved writing and I loved taking photos, but I didn't know that I could physically be an author. Cause I never met an author. I think all the authors were like dead people. But then when I taught second grade, every day for like 4 years, we were reading a book after lunch. And it was like the best time of the day. You know, read aloud time. Your students were usually calmer. And I think I did a lot of research without knowing when I was reading through those books, like what books did the students gravitate to. And I think that's when I had my first daughter and I stayed home. I was like, I should try to write a picture book. And it was a lot harder than I thought because when I wrote it, Layla's Lunchbox was my first book, and it still took a few years for it to get an offer. So, you know what you said about Joe Hackl saying every
Map,
word
yeah.
counts.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
every word, yes. Yeah.
For picture books too, I really feel that as well.
Very cool. And so you mentioned that you were a teacher. Are you currently
Yeah.
a teacher? Did you go back or did you?
Not yet.
Not yet.
So I had initially sort of played around with the idea of maybe going back, and then I think I had more kids, so I sort of became a stay-at-home mom. And then I started writing, and that was just so much fun because I felt like I got that creative outlet. And now it's really awesome because I'm still writing and it's still fun mostly, but it is more serious now because now there's like real deadlines and stuff that you do and copy edits. But I still wouldn't like, I love being an author over being a teacher. Like, teaching is so full time, you know?
It is. And yes, I definitely agree. You don't have a lot of brain space to do other things because you're so
No.
consumed by that and putting all your energy that if you want to do something on the side, like being a writer, which most writers have another day job. There are
Yes.
very few people that I talk to. That's the only thing that they do in their life.
Yes.
So that makes a lot
Yes.
of sense. So when you mentioned that your two characters in your first two books were very different in personality. You said that in Unsettled, Noura, is that how I say her name? Yeah. So she was a little quieter, a little more reserved, not quite so sure of herself, sort of like kind of figuring out who she was because she came from Pakistan and came to a new complete country that was very different. And she had to figure out how to make that work. And then in Golden Girl, Afia,
yes,
she was just a little more confident and bold
yes.
and kind of out there. So when you described that, I was curious if you were kind of describing yourself. Like when you were younger, did you feel more like Noura in Unsettled? And that, like, did you find a way to become a little bit more like Afia? Or is that just in your books?
I think so. I think that could be accurate because Noura seems to me like a younger character in some ways, more cautious because she's just moved. And I felt like when I moved continents, I was really shy in the beginning. Afia was born in America, grew up over here. So she is bolder. She's wealthier. She has this beauty and power and class that sort of shapes her into who she is, whereas Noura is still struggling and finding her place. And I think, yes, I think I probably did evolve to become louder and bolder, more like Afia, I guess. And I think when I started out, I was probably a little bit more like Noura. But Noura does find her voice near the end of the story, just in a more quieter way, I would say.
And one kind of last question about the writing. And you had said that you didn't, growing up, you didn't really always think about becoming a writer. You didn't really see many models of making
Yes.
you feel like you could be a writer.
Yes.
Reflect a little bit on your reading, because we talk a lot about in the world of books and literature, windows, mirrors, and sliding glass doors. And
Yes.
what was your experience when you were a younger reader with
Yes.
the books that you were reading?
So I grew up in the Middle East and we read a lot of British books. So Roald Dahl was big, Enid Blyton. And then I remember we would visit my aunt in America and there was this eye doctor who gave us a big box of American books. And I remember reading Little House, was it Little House on the Prairie? Little House in the Big Woods by Laura Ingalls Wilder. And I loved those books. And then we also had in the box was The Babysitter's Club. And I really grew to love that series. And there was even Sweet Valley High. And they were written so differently from the British books were, I guess, more proper than the American books. So I think, but just being exposed to all those books really made me love reading. And I did want to be a teacher when I was young, and I did end up becoming one. I think I just didn't know that an author, like, you could, I don't know. I guess, as you said, like, I wasn't exposed to many authors, so I didn't know it could be, like, a real job. So, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, what you said, you usually have, like, a side job being an author. So there is that.
Yeah. Well, I am just really grateful that you decided to become an author because we need more books that
have just all these different experiences in all these different ways to grow up. And I think that so many of your readers will know that they could become a writer in the future.
I hope so.
Yeah. And my last question for you, and this is a question I ask every person that comes on this podcast, is what is something in your life that is currently bringing you joy?
Oh, I love that question. So right now, this is random, but I'm really excited about rain, because if there's rain, it means we don't have our extracurricular sports on the weekend. And if we don't have our extracurricular sports on the weekend for the kids, I get to stay home and do home things. Maybe I might even write some more. Like, I'm not usually like a big sporty type of mom who takes their kids places, but this spring I did sign up for sports, and I noticed whenever it rains and sports are canceled, I'm like, yes. So very grateful for rain. And it's supposed to rain on Sunday, which is the day of our sports.
Well, are you in Texas? Is that where you currently?
No, I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Okay. So rain isn't quite as rare, probably.
Oh, no, not so rare. When I grew up in the Middle East, in Abu Dhabi, it was very rare. And it was like a huge deal when it rained. Snow is a big deal over here. Like, the city shuts down.
Yes, with just a little dusting.
Yes, or even just like ice, because yes. We don't have the tires and the salt. Like, it's dangerous.
It's, yeah, very different. And I'm currently in Minnesota, and that is not the case. Let me tell you, it's snowed almost every day that I've been here. And I think we have like 3 feet of snow around on the ground. And it is currently snowing as I am talking to you. So,
oh my goodness. Wait, so then what brings you joy? Now I need to know.
Oh, well, being able to be home with my mom and just spending quality time has been very, very joyful, even with some of the hard things. And they live on a farm, and we have sheep. And so we have a whole bunch of baby sheep that are out there in the shed. And actually, unexpectedly yesterday, one of the mama sheep was sick, and she ended up dying. And however, my brother and my dad were able to save her three babies that were inside her that she had not given birth to, but they were ready to be born. But because she was sick, she couldn't give birth to them. They were completely okay. They came out, they were triplets, and we took care of them all day yesterday. We fed them every 4 hours with baby bottles. And it was just, nature is just amazing. Like, I just am always so astounded how things can happen. And yeah.
Have you read Saving Winslow by Sharon Creech? Oh. They save a baby donkey.
Yes.
I love that book.
I know. Books with animals bring me joy as well. As long as they're happy. I can't handle sad.
Corey Leonardo writes about animals. I think it's called The Simple Art of Flying. And she has a beautiful book about birds.
Oh, I will write that down. Thank you. So again, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I hope I get to meet you in real person.
We will.
One day.
Yes, I think we will.
Well, that brings us to the end of episode 12, The Joy of Novels in Verse with Reem Farooqui. I hope that the listeners have added a variety of titles to their to-be-read list. And I just want to give another shout out to Reem for taking time to talk to us. I also want to let people know that the article I referred to in the intro from School Library Journal is entitled Verse Novelists Forge a Unique Connection with Young Readers, written by Amanda McGregor, and that was published on March 31st, 2022. All of the authors in our April Novels in Verse series are featured in that article, and it's a great informational piece all about novels in verse and the benefits that they can provide to readers of all ages. And I want to remind our listeners that next week we will wrap up this series with Chris Barron. If you have not read Chris's books, please look them up. And I think that you will not be disappointed. He is such a kind soul and has so much to offer the world in his writing. And he just keeps getting better and better as each new book comes out. So tune in next week for that episode.
Thank you, everyone, as always, for tuning in to the Joyful Learning Podcast. Please follow our podcast and our social media accounts, and we would be greatly appreciative for anybody who really is connecting with the show to rate us on whatever platform you find your podcast and leave a review if you feel so inclined.